From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our special guest on this edition of the program is Michael J. Abramowitz, president of Freedom House. That's an independent watchdog organization dedicated to the expansion of freedom and democracy around the world. And we're coming to you from Freedom House headquarters in downtown Washington. Founded in 1941, Freedom House was the first American organization to champion the advancement of freedom globally. Freedom House advocates for U.S. leadership and collaboration with like-minded democratic governments to oppose dictators and oppression in a vigorous manner. It amplifies the voices of those struggling for freedom in repressive societies and counters authoritarian efforts to weaken international scrutiny of their regimes. Freedom House also empowers human rights defenders and civic activists on the front lines to uphold fundamental rights and to advance democratic change. Before assuming his post as president of Freedom House in February 2017, Michael Abramowitz was director of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum's Institute for Holocaust Education. Previously, he was national editor and then White House correspondent for the Washington Post newspaper. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and former fellow at the German Marshall Fund and the Hoover Institution. We'll talk with this journalist, now president of Freedom House, about the troubling findings from a number of recent reports, including the flagship Freedom in the World publication. That's an annual report on political rights and civil liberties. More than 2.5 billion people live in countries that Freedom House designates not free, more than a third of the globe's population. Moreover, the report indicates that populist leaders constitute a major threat to freedom of expression in societies previously considered established democracies, such as the United States and Europe. The upshot, democracy, freedom of expression, and the rule of law are under attack and in retreat globally. Well, Michael Abramowitz, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for hosting us here at Freedom House.
We're happy to have you.
Well, Michael, I made the introduction and I sort of ended up on a rather ominous note about the fact that freedom, democracy, freedom of expression, rule of law are somewhat in retreat globally. Let's talk briefly about the mission of Freedom House. How, in your view, has the mission evolved since its inception in 1941? And what are the unique challenges of this moment in history where we're seeing freedom of the press and respect for civil liberties in places we took for granted now under attack?
Freedom House was founded in 1941 to confront American isolationism, to confront the America First movement of the late 1930s, early 1940s, in which Americans really felt that the safety of America lay in keeping out of the European war, staying out of World War II. So even as Hitler's troops were marching across Europe, there were large majorities of Americans who felt that America should not get involved. And Freedom House came together under the banner of Freedom House to confront this, what we thought is pernicious trend. And so that founding mission of kind of advocating for U.S. leadership as part of a global community of democracies has really always been the Freedom House way, if you will. And the other thing I would just say about the founding of Freedom House that I think is very relevant today is that the founding patrons of Freedom House were Eleanor Roosevelt and Wendell Willkie. Wendell Willkie had run against Franklin Roosevelt in 1940 as the Republican nominee for president in the United States. And yet we had people from across the political aisle coming together under the Freedom House banner to advocate on behalf of these core freedoms. So that still is the approach of Freedom House. We're intensely nonpartisan. We believe that people from across the political aisle should believe in the core freedoms that we're advocating, and we're looking for support in a bipartisan way. So if you look at our board, we have people who have served in Obama administration, Republican administrations. We're across the aisle, and that's, I think, one of the great strengths of Freedom House.
How does your background as a journalist inform your desire and mission to promote press freedom, arguably a central tenet, pillar of democracy anywhere in the world?
Well, it's very relevant. You know, I spent almost 25 years as a journalist for the Washington Post, as a reporter and editor, and so I'm deeply committed to the values of free expression and independent media. I would say that If I have one core belief, it's that the media can serve as an important check on governmental abuse of power. I mean, there's a reason why in America the media is protected under the First Amendment, because the founders of the United States saw the centrality of having a free media to the functioning of a democracy. And so it's to the core of my beliefs that I think we're dedicated to the strengthening of an independent media. And that's one of the core issues that we work on at Freedom House.
Well, let's talk about that. And to your point about America First, now we have a U.S. president who is sort of reviving that philosophy, perhaps not with the same connotations, but who also feels no compunction about denigrating or denouncing the mainstream media. Talk about the challenges of that and to what extent that's a factor, among many others, contributing to a downward trend around the world with respect to democracy, rule of law, and press freedom.
Let me make an important point that the United States, whatever the troubles we've had in recent years in the United States, and by the way, the troubles in the United States, we don't think started on, you know, January 20th, 2017 with the current president. We think there have been a weakening of U.S. democracy that has transcended administrations. It's gotten worse in the last year, but I think we have to acknowledge that it's been on a downward trend, according to our reports, for the last 7 years. The problems with democracy, you know, have been going on for some time. And I think we also have acknowledged that they've been going on around the world, right? Donald Trump is not the cause of the problem. He's a symptom of a problem. If you look at our reports, we are in the middle of what we call a democracy recession, where every year for the last 12 years, there have been more countries that have experienced a decline in their political rights and civil liberties than those that have experienced an improvement. And this is, I think, the longest running period of decline that we've had since we started rating in Freedom of the World starting in the early 1970s. So we're quite concerned about the broader trends. Where the United States comes in is, I think traditionally the United States has been one of the strongest exemplars and advocates of democracy and the core principles of democracy. So when the United States is weak in this regard or is weakening, then I think it makes it hard to kind of press for freedom around the world. If the United States is attacking objective facts as fake news, you know, it gives leeway to autocrats in other countries to do the same thing. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard from colleagues who have gone in to see foreign leaders and they've talked to complain about conditions and it's come back and, well, that's fake news. So people are looking to the United States for leadership on this issue, and that is our concern at Freedom House, that we maintain that leadership on these issues.
I suppose it's difficult at this moment to do that if you have a U.S. government who, at least a president who is basically using this type of language with respect to the press, calling some reports fake news and this type of thing. And it, I guess, gives comfort to other politicians around the world who have the habit of responding to critical media coverage by castigating the journalists responsible for reporting rather than perhaps rebutting stories on their merits.
Right. Well, look, I think, again, you have to have a little bit of context here. If you look at our scores, the United States remains a very robust and free society. It's one of the freest countries in the world, and we're proud of that, justifiably. And there are other countries that have had much more substantial diminution of liberties. You look at a country like Turkey, which I believe is a country that has had the steepest declines in our freedom scores over the last decade, or countries like Poland and Hungary, where there have been kind of backsliding in the democracy scores over the last 5 to 10 years. Then you have the leading autocratic countries in the world, which would be Russia and China. We thought that they would be countries that would be liberalizing perhaps 20 years ago and seemed to be on a trend that seemed more hopeful, but yet there's been, you know, they've turned things around and they're avowed enemies of democracy. I mean, Xi Jinping, you know, has made it clear that he sees the China model, which is kind of authoritarian restrictions on own citizens within a capitalist context, as a model for the developing world. And Vladimir Putin, the head of Russia, has, you know, made very clear his disdain for democracy and to the extent that he went to interfere in our own elections here. So the point I'm trying to make is that in the context, the rest of the world is sliding much worse than the United States, but it makes it hard for the United States to kind of defend these principles when we're backsliding at home a bit.
Well, speaking of Russia, I do want to talk about Russia and the role it has played, that is Vladimir Putin's Russia, in interfering not only in the U.S. democracy in the elections of 2016, but in many other countries around the world, particularly in Western and Eastern Europe. What role has Moscow played, in your view, in undermining confidence in democracy writ large and the rule of law?
Well, I think the role of Russia has been a major and a nefarious one in terms of the issues that we care about Freedom House. Number one, we have to acknowledge that ever since Vladimir Putin really assumed power in Russia, just about the turn of the century, Russia has been sliding in a poor direction in terms of just the freedoms of her own people. So what was once a country that seemed to be on its way to becoming free has really backslided considerably. One thing that's interesting about Putin, he kind of has shown the kind of an autocrat's playbook, right? So there's still the veneer of elections in Russia. He still runs for election every 5 years, but the elections are really not free and fair. There's not an independent media to report accurately on what's happening. There's not a civil society to marshal support. You know, the opposition is silenced and thrown in jail if necessary. So Putin has kind of modeled an autocratic playbook that has been, I think, copied by other people, most notably President Erdogan in Turkey, but there could be others. So there's an autocrat's playbook that I think is quite significant. Then there is what he's doing beyond their borders. And I think that Putin is threatened, for instance, by having a strong EU. And so he has gone out of his way to undermine and to sow discord in certain countries in Europe, you know, supporting far-right parties. I mean, I think the other thing, and there have been a number of scholars, including Timothy Snyder and others, that have documented this, and Freedom House as well, in our reports, you know, Russia has become the master of kind of information warfare and being able to kind of use social media and use the tools of the information age to really sow discord and undermine. So what happened in the United States in 2016 has actually been happening in other countries on the borders of Russia over the past number of years. The other thing that I would just add about this is that other countries are emulating what Russia is doing. So I talked about the autocrat's playbook, but one of our most important reports is something called our Freedom of the Net report. So we have our core Freedom of the World report, but we do other reports about the state of freedom, including Freedom of the Net. And what's interesting, in our last report of Freedom of the Net, which came out in the fall of 2017, so we're just in the field now on another report, but one of the key findings is that many, many countries, several dozen, had actually kind of adopted the policies of Russia and China in terms of kind of using social media to undermine democracy in their own countries.
Absolutely. I think you really put your finger on it, where both Russia and China, both autocracies, see democracy as a threat to their power. So they are engaged in these type of techniques.
Absolutely.
We'll have more in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Press Conference USA on The Voice of America. Our guest is Michael Abramowitz. He's president of Freedom House. That's an organization dedicated to the expansion of freedom and democracy around the world. I'm Carol Castiel. We're discussing challenges to press freedom and civil liberties around the world and how these threats erode democracy. This is a reminder that our PCUSA podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. Here's a shout out to valued listener Frank Dexter Bruce. He's from Accra, Ghana. If you want to hear your name on the air, please send feedback on this show by sending an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our special guest, Michael Abramowitz, president of Freedom House. Michael, let's go into some of the key reports. For example, the Freedom in the World report. It's a report that covers 195 countries, 14 territories, and you rate countries on a scale free, partly free, not free. So I want you to go into who's up, who's down, who are the, you know, laggards, and who are some of the bright spots?
Sure. Let's start with the bright spots. So there's not been that many bright spots in recent years. In our last report, I believe it was the Gambia in Africa that had experienced a major improvement in the democratic scores that we're happy about. It's actually kind of interesting that since our report came out, I think there are a number of other bright spots that I would point to. Two that come immediately to mind was Malaysia, which actually had an election and threw out the autocrat, which was totally unexpected a few months ago. Then also Armenia, you had a change in power there and now a liberalization in Armenia. And there are a couple of other countries like that. Macedonia would be another country where there has been improvement since the last time. So I would expect to see improvements in those countries' scores in our next round in January of 2019. What I would say, Carol, is that I think what this all goes to say is that this is a very fluid situation. There have been three so-called waves of democratization, right, that have, you know, kind of ended and they've been backsliding. And that's kind of the story of democracy, where you have advancements, more countries becoming democratic, and then you have kind of pushback by the autocrats. But in general, the direction is going in a positive direction. There are many more countries today that were democracies at the end of World War II. That's as a consequence of the so-called third wave, which started in the mid-70s and saw liberalization, more democratization in Latin America, then in Eastern Europe with the fall of the Cold War. And now we're seeing kind of the wave crashing, if you will, and coming back. But candidly, the last report was a pretty grim report for us. Turkey is a country that had serious backsliding. For instance, jailing of many journalists. I believe, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, there are more journalists in jail in Turkey than in any country in the world. And then you also have sort of a consolidation of presidential power under presidential Erdogan and really a silencing of any dissenting voices. It's interesting, you know, he did win an election recently. And I think the question, you know, that we have, if the playing field were truly free and the opposition could campaign openly and journalists weren't in jail and could report, would the results have been the same? That's why I think a very important point that we often make at Freedom House is that democracy is not just free and fair elections, that they're a core part of democracy. But democracy is also about all the things that we measure in our reports, having a free press, an independent media, freedom of association, rule of law, having a vibrant civil society. These are all the things that we measure in our Freedom of the World report, and without those kinds of strong institutions and themes, it's hard to have a really well-functioning democracy.
Well, you're absolutely right. Elections can be easily rigged, and they can be sham elections without these other components. In addition to documenting these trends, you also seem to have an advocacy role. So talk about how you both document these trends, the direction of them, and also help civic activists on the front lines. Specifically.
Sure. So Freedom House is, I would say, with respect, kind of an unusual organization because we talk of our three pillars. We do research and analysis, our reports. We do advocacy, so we push for change in government policy. And then we also do on-the-ground work in about 25 different countries where we're supporting frontline human rights defenders, frontline activists. You know, one of our most important programs in that respect is our so-called emergency assistance programs, where we are really helping activists who get in trouble. They get thrown in jail. We can help them find a lawyer. We can help them get out of jail. If things go really bad, we can help relocate them out of the country. So we are really helping literally thousands of individual activists continue their work. That's one of our most important programs at Freedom House, and we're very proud of it. And it's actually one of the more important programs with what you see as kind of this growing authoritarianism. So you take countries like Russia or Turkey, frankly, it's very hard for civil society to be operating in those countries. And so the support of people who are living in free societies to people who are living in authoritarian settings is really a crucial part of what we do. So it's all three. It's research, it's advocacy, and it's support of frontline activists.
And if somebody listening to this program says, like, I'd love to get in touch with a Freedom House representative, how would they do that?
Well, they can certainly write me directly at abramowitz@freedomhouse.org, and I'll try to help them. But usually in all the countries, human rights activists know of us. I recognize in certain countries it's going to be unsafe for people to try to contact Freedom House. People should be mindful of their safety and security because Freedom House is not popular in certain authoritarian settings. But people can find us, and we have offices around the world as well.
And how about the funding? Where do you get your funding?
Our funding is a mix of foundations, wealthy individuals, not so wealthy individuals, and we do get some government funding from the United States government, from some of the European governments. It's a diverse set of funding, and we try to keep it diverse. Freedom of the World, we're very careful. We don't accept any government funding for that report. First of all, it's a very unbiased report, and I think it's held up very well over the years, but I think we don't think we should take any government funding for that because that would open us up to potential criticism that we're favoring certain countries because of the money that they're giving us, which is not the actual case, but we want to avoid the perception of that.
Indeed. Let's talk about another report. It's called Nations in Transit. It's Confronting Illiberalism, in which you identify Europe as a major challenge. We're seeing a rise of populism and illiberalism in Europe, particularly in Poland and Hungary, where nationalism is on the rise. And in Poland recently, we're seeing pretty much a decimation of the judiciary, independence of the judiciary. How do we counter these trends in countries that, you know, maybe just a few years ago were going in the opposite direction?
Well, it's a big concern, and Nations in Transit is another one of our kind of flagship reports. It's actually a report not about Western Europe, but it's about Eastern Europe, the Eurasia region, really essentially the former Soviet bloc. And it's really to track the progress of democratization in those countries that largely became free after the fall of the Berlin Wall. I would say that our most recent report came out a few months ago, and it really, to be honest, tracked the general findings of freedom in the world, but we were really looking at democratic practice. And the theme of our report this year was kind of the way that illiberal practices and tendencies have kind of spread throughout this region. So, for instance, in Hungary, really fierce attacks on civil society, on the independent media. Same thing in Poland, but other countries as well. It's really the idea that the state itself is the only legitimate source of knowledge and about situations, and it's really an attack on other forms of checks on state power, and that's what we're seeing across the region. You know, many of the countries that we tracked in the Nations in Transit have actually been on the decline, just like they've been on decline in freedom in the world.
Indeed, and of course, one of the main culprits is Vladimir Putin's Russia.
Yes.
I assume, the influence on these countries.
Absolutely. As I said, there's a dictator's playbook. He's kind of been using it in Russia, and we're worried about it spreading. But I think the one thing, if I could say to your viewers, is that I'm kind of a glass half full kind of person. We do believe at Freedom House that these democratic values are not Western values, they're not Eastern values, they're universal values. One thing that we see is that there is a quest for democracy and human rights that's around the world, and sometimes it's in recession, but in general we feel it's in a forward thrust. And I think we need to remind ourselves that, you know, countries, like I mentioned, Malaysia, that seem to be going in a very bad direction, suddenly now are opening up and becoming more liberal and throwing the former prime minister in jail for major corruption. We'll see where it goes. You know, the story of democracy is in some ways two steps forward, one step back. But as Winston Churchill once said, it's the worst form of government except for all the others.
Indeed. I guess the big takeaway from the Freedom in the World report is the backsliding among the world's most established democracies.
Yes.
It's very disconcerting.
Absolutely. I think what I would say is that when we looked at freedom in the world and we sort of look around the world, we see some manifestation of this trend happening at every continent in the world. But certainly, as you suggest, this is happening. The strong democratic countries of Western Europe and America have not been immune to the downward pressures. And so we're very hopeful that in the long term, this will turn around. But there are a lot of major factors which have really created this problem. You know, we've been in a very long period of economic slow growth since the economic downturn at the end of the Bush administration. That has been a challenge for democracies. Democracies are not seen as delivering, in a way, on the economic needs of their people. You've got this global immigration challenge, which is really incredible. More refugees, I believe, in the world now than at any point since World War II. And that is putting huge downward pressure on these issues. And you have countries like Hungary, where there's really very little immigration, but the leadership in Hungary has been able to use the threat of the other, the threat of the immigrants, to kind of pursue a fairly tough line there. So there's some larger trends that the world's democracies are grappling with and will need to be dealt with before we see things turn around.
Absolutely. The anti-immigrant sentiment, which then fuels populism, helps to create the kind of sentiment that is very skeptical about democracy and the pillars of democracy.
Yeah, let me say one thing, if I could add here. You know, in some ways, populism is a democratic phenomenon, right? You know, if the people in power are not delivering on the core needs of the people, you know, having a strong education system, you know, having some regulation of borders, you know, people can be justifiably angry about that. The danger is that the policies pursued by so-called populists have often tended to, in our view, infringe political rights and infringe civil liberties.
Exactly, because there's another important P word, pluralism.
Right.
Too much populism leads to xenophobia, leads to vilification of the other, and we need to make room for pluralism, which is an important value for democracies.
Absolutely, and that's one of the important values that's embedded in our Freedom of the World study, that, you know, minority rights have to be protected because societies won't function by pure majoritarian rule.
And there's another interesting report, the Democracy Project, which you recently engaged in. You have a collaboration with the George W. Bush Institute and the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement. And all three of you produced something called the Democracy Project, which is a sort of a survey on American attitudes about the health and future of American democracy and America's support for democracy. Talk about your major takeaway from that report.
Sure. That's an interesting report for Freedom House because in some ways it's a new line of inquiry for us because we basically believe in our bones here that strong U.S. democratic practice and U.S. democratic leadership is essential to the spread of democracy around the world. So we wanted to kind of take a close look at attitudes in the United States towards democracy. And we wanted to raise a question that has been raised by some other experts. Is attachment to democracy declining, you know, in our country or in other countries? But we looked at our country and we did it in a bipartisan fashion. We worked with President Bush and Vice President Biden, their public policy institutes, because these are two politicians, you know, who do share an interest in U.S. engagement in the world. Everything we do is bipartisan. And we worked with two very prominent survey research firms, one a Republican firm, one a Democratic firm. I would say the takeaways were both in some ways heartening and in some ways there was some disconcerting news. I think the heartening news from our point of view was that large numbers of Americans, you know, more than 80%, are still highly attached to democratic values. They want to live in a democracy. And so there's been some talk that Americans, especially young people, are losing their attachment to democracy. And we didn't see any evidence of that. So we felt that's a good thing. On the other hand, Americans are deeply concerned about the health and vitality of our democracy. You know, more than half of the people we surveyed, and this was a national poll we did, plus we did focus groups, but more than half of the people we surveyed felt that American democracy is weak, and close to two-thirds thought that it was getting weaker. And so this was, to us, kind of a wake-up call. It's saying to us that Americans, and these were bipartisan groups, it was both Republicans and Democrats who were concerned about U.S. democracy, that it really said to us that politicians and our leaders really have to pay more attention to the strengthening of U.S. democracy, because those numbers are approaching a crisis in confidence in American democracy. And if we don't pay attention to that, you know, we could be in trouble down the road as a country.
Indeed. Of course, we're talking about all the different pillars, which is the press freedom, our institutions, the Congress, the judiciary. We have to also bolster these institutions and our civil society.
Right. And by the way, one thing I would just say there is that you can go to the Freedom House website, freedomhouse.org, and we have the report right there so your viewers can look at that. But, you know, I talked about both positive and negative, but one thing that was quite concerning was, you know, a declining faith in U.S. institutions, the media, and other institutions, and that should be of deep concern. That tracks other polls. It's not unique, but it does say to us that we have a lot of work to do in our own country to strengthen our democracy.
That's for sure. And as a fellow journalist, I would simply say, you know, we're not perfect, but I would like people around the world and here in America as well to understand that we can make mistakes in the media. But really, the mainstream media, as long as you have editors, writers who are faithful to the facts, I think that, you know, we can and should try to generate a better respect, because the media is an extremely important watchdog and an important check on leaders, whether authoritarian or democratic.
Well, one of the things I'm very proud about at Freedom House is that we do take a close look at the United States. So when we do a report, say Freedom of the World or Freedom of the Net, we're not only looking and pointing the fingers at other countries, we're looking at ourselves in a very rigorous way. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that we at Freedom House, as I indicated earlier in the conversation, we work very closely with civil society and human rights activists and democracy activists all over the world. I think generally they have a lot of respect for Freedom House, but they're paying attention to what's happening in the United States and they're worried about what's happening in the United States. And I think it undermines the ability of the United States to speak out on these issues when there are problems at home. So it's important for us to not only point the finger elsewhere, which we should continue to do, that's part of what Freedom House does, but we should also look inwards. The future of democracy is up to the people in each of the countries of the world. You know, we can't substitute our preferences for them or tell them what to do, but we can be there to support them.
Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Press Conference USA. Michael Abramowitz is president of Freedom House. That's an organization dedicated to the expansion of freedom and democracy around the world. Michael, thank you so much for sharing your insights. We greatly appreciate your time.
Really appreciate you having me.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Our engineer and producer was Ted Schneider. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.